Glad everyone is here this evening. And this may be your first time that you're with us, and we appreciate you being here. We've been talking this year about fulfilling our purpose in the church and in the home. And we're going to talk about fulfilling our purpose at work. And we're going to talk about fulfilling our purpose in recreation. And there's a lot of things that we could talk about our purpose in life. But some of you know that I'm on a Proverbs kick right now. That's where my deep study is at. It's in Proverbs. And we taught it in the young adult class downstairs. We're going through it on Thursday night at Wendy's, and so I'm kind of wrapped up in Proverbs. And we were going through Proverbs chapter 2, and the text that Jeremy read for us got me thinking about something. It got me thinking about what is my most treasured possession. And I'm having trouble figuring out what is my most treasured possession. What I think is the best thing that I have. So, I've narrowed it down to my car because it gets me around and I can go places without being a nuisance to anyone else and without having to wait on the bus or the train. I treasure that very highly. I also treasure my place to live, which I don't possess. I rent, but it gives me protection from the cold, from the heat, from apparently bears in Bloomfield this afternoon. It gives you all kind of things that I wouldn't have on. And then I think about my TVs, about how I don't want to give them up because I treasure them. They are valuable to me. And so I don't know what the answer is. I think it's my car. But you know what I did when I needed a car? I went and I looked for a car. A car didn't just end up in my driveway one day like I am a 16-year-old kid in Alabama and you come home from school one day and or you see the commercials at Christmas time and you look up in the driveway and boom, there's a car with a bow on it. It wasn't handed to me. I had to look for it. Same thing with the apartment. No one just came to me and said, hey, here's this apartment. Why don't you live there? Or, hey, here's this TV. I went out and I looked for it because they were things that were important to me. Now, I want you to go back to the text I just read for us in Proverbs 2. And what his father says to his son is, my son, receive my words and treasure up my commandments. My commandments to you, son, are something that you need to treasure. It's something that you need to find valuable. So here's what I want you to do, verse 2, son. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. You got to open up your ears to receive wisdom. I want you to do that. I want you to incline your heart. You give your heart to understanding, to know how things work. And yeah, I want you to call out for insight. I want you to know intimately about things. Call out for it and raise your voice for understanding. And if you seek it, here it is, like silver. And you search for it as, and we're going to emphasize this tonight, hidden treasures. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The things that I treasure most were not hidden, really. I just had to go look for them a little bit. But we have people who are treasure hunters or treasure seekers. And I think there was a show on NBC for a little while called Treasure Seekers. And that's what they did. They went out trying to find treasure that was hidden in caves, in the ocean, in fields, because they wanted the benefit of that treasure. And what the father is telling his son is, I want you to go after God's treasure. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is the things that God values. going after the things that He has hidden, and we will see that it's fear of Him. He wants us to go after that. After wisdom, after understanding, and He's saying, you've got to seek it like it is treasure hidden from you. So we got three things that I want you to see in action that goes with it. The first thing that we have to do, and we've already pointed this out, is you have to seek the treasure. So, again, I don't have a pirate's map. But pirates apparently are renowned for hiding gold somewhere and putting out the old map with the old saying, X marks the spot. And you got to go and follow the map to find the treasure, because what you think you will find is a big old chest of gold. Something that is very valuable. And that's what you will do. If you don't see the value of God's wisdom, of fearing the Lord and understanding the way things are with the Lord, why go after it? I'm not going to seek it because I don't care one bit. Because we might say, it's not going to do anything for me. And the proverb writer says, it is valuable. Look there in chapter 2. In chapter 3, I should say, we saw in chapter 2 to seek it like silver, like hidden treasure. But I want you to notice chapter 3 and verse 13. He says again to his son, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than from gold and from silver, and her profit is better than gold. And she is more precious than jewels, and nothing you can desire can compare with her. You think money's everything? You think these rare jewels are the best things to go after? Son, you don't understand. The best thing in life, the only thing that matters, is God's wisdom. Is understanding things the way God sees them. That is more valuable and more profitable than any amount of gold, any amount of silver, and any amount of jewels you can find. And you can amass a lot of gold, a lot of silver, and a lot of jewels, and still be a fool. Don't do it. Nothing you can desire can compare. Also, he says to his son, whatever you do in chapter 4, a verse that we well know, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. That's the first thing you need to know about wisdom. You need it. You've got to go get it. And you do whatever it takes to get it. Because it's valuable. Nothing can compare. And when you find it, like we see in the parables of Jesus in Matthew 13, you give up whatever it takes to get it. Notice that, and we know these parables from Matthew chapter 13, about the kingdom of heaven. And talking about the value of the kingdom, verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. That's what the parable is. The kingdom of God is a treasure. But notice where it is. It's hidden in a field. And a man found it. And what did he do? He covered it up. Then in his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has and buys that field. He stumbled upon it, apparently. But he recognized what it was, and he sold everything for it. Next parable, 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. This time, the kingdom is like the person who's actually looking for the treasure, for the pearls. And when he found the one great pearl of value, he went and he sold all that he had and he bought it. My son, This wisdom, this understanding is worth everything that you have. And I ask the question, do I view God's wisdom worth everything that I have? I'll do whatever it takes to get it. I'll look for it no matter how long it's going to take me, no matter how hard it's going to be, because guess what happens when you're out in a field looking for something that's hidden? The archaeologists, what are they doing? They're taking their shovels, and I read this, they're going 4 inches at a time. And guess what they're at most of the time? In desert areas. And it's tedious. And they're going through all these various things and they're trying to find out, is this artifact important? Is this important? And they're willing to put through the work because they're looking for something. They're looking to find some great discovery that is going to benefit them or their institution or whatever. They see value in going through the work. And I'll tell you what, if we don't see the value of God's wisdom as God sees it, as it is the best thing that we can get in life, we aren't going to seek it. We'll seek it from time to time. Because like we know we should. Like I know I should ask about this one. But normal stuff, who cares? I got my own. See it as its value. Second reason why you're going to seek it. You've got to seek it in the right place. Those archaeologists, when they go out on a dig, guess what they don't do? Let me just randomly find some spot on the ground and start digging, do they? They've done research. They've looked from airplane views, or they know about the civilization that was around so that they're looking in the right place. Or with our pirate treasure maps. You don't look anywhere. You follow the directions to get there. Because if you're looking in the wrong place, guess what you won't find? The treasure. And so what are we trying to find again? What's the treasure? God's wisdom. God's understanding. So where am I supposed to seek that at? Go to Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, we're going to see several things here. First thing that we are going to see is where we're going to find this wisdom. If you want God's wisdom, this is where you're going to find it. In verse 1, he says, "This my prayer is for you. I've never seen you, but this is what I want for you." Verse 2, "That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ." I want you to reach all the riches. And so I thought about that. What's the idea of reaching riches? It's something you've dug for, or something that you've climbed to attain. It took some work to get to it, and he wants you to get all the riches of this. Now notice verse 3. What is the mystery? Christ is where all this knowledge is. So verse 3, "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." If you want God's wisdom, where you have to go is to Christ. You can't find it anywhere else. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24, Paul says that Christ became to us the wisdom from God. There is no other wisdom. There's man-made religion, and we might look at it that way. We might look at man's wisdom as being where we're going to get wise, where we're going to understand things. But notice the rest of your text here in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 4. Why does he tell them that all this is hidden in Christ, all of these treasures of knowledge and wisdom are in Christ? Because verse 4, here's what people are going to try to do. "I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments." Some of your translations may say, "deceive you" or "beguile you." I don't want you to be deceived, and the word for these plausible arguments are persuasive arguments. These people are going to try to persuade you about Christ, that He is not deity, but He, in fact, is deity. Verse 8. That's first thing. Don't let anyone deceive you with their arguments. Second thing, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. That's how the world functions. The world functions on their philosophies and their elemental feelings and emotions. That's what it's all based off of. I don't want you to be taken captive by that. When people are taken captive, right? That's usually not a good thing. That means you are enslaved to them. So what you are enslaved to is not Christ. You're now enslaved to the world. And I don't want you to be enslaved to that, Corinthians. All of that wisdom is in Christ. But notice verse 16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon. These are a shadow of the things to come, but here it is. But the substance of these belongs to Christ. Thirdly, don't let people judge you on the Sabbaths and other days along that way. Those were just to help us understand God. The real deal is Christ. That's what matters. Don't let other people do that. Don't listen to them. Follow Christ. And then finally, in the next verse, verse 18, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism, that would be harming of the body, and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, and puffed up with reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, which he told us in chapter 1 is Christ, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through his joints, grows with a growth that is from God. Don't let anyone, and the word disqualify you there, is umpire against you. They're calling you out. They're disqualifying you because you listen to their, as the end of the chapter would say, verse 23, man, self-made religion. You want to understand what you're supposed to do? You hold fast to the head. You look deep in Christ. You hold fast to the things that belong to Christ, not the things of this world. They'll captivate you. They'll take you away, but they are nothing. They're empty, he says. So don't look in the world. But you and me, that's probably not where we first focus, is it? We probably look at ourselves. Don't look at yourself. Go back to Proverbs chapter 3. And see how he says this to him, right? In chapter 2, he says to go after the wisdom like you're seeking for the hidden treasure. But in chapter 3, he says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Here it is. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. That's the problem I have most of the time. It's not trying to solve things by the wisdom of the world. It's by leaning too much on my own understanding. Being too wise in my own eyes that I don't know God's way. And that's the idea of acknowledge. It's not just, oh, let me think about God. It is an intimate knowing of His way and what He wants. And do I want that? Or would I rather do it my way? And do it how I feel. And do it how I think. Or am I going to go out of my way and I'm going to go into hard work to find out what God's way is? That's what he's saying, do, son. You seek it out. Don't trust yourself. So you seek it. Go back to chapter 2. Here's our second thing that we're going to see. You seek the treasure, guess what is going to happen? You seek, you will find his treasure. Go back there in chapter 2, because the reason why, verse 6, because the Lord gives wisdom. And from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Guess what? You seek it, the Lord will give it to you. And he's going to give it directly from his mouth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You want to know how to live life? You get it from God's mouth directly, as the commercial is. You get it right from the horse's mouth. Don't trust anybody else. Don't trust yourself. Get it from God. He'll give it to you. He'll do it. And isn't that what James says? Any of you lack wisdom? Let him do what? Ask of God. And what's he do? Give generously, liberally. God gives it. He wants it. And notice verse 7. He stores it up. In the same word as treasures. He treasures it up. He bounds it up for you. Sound wisdom for the upright. And he's a shield to those who walk in integrity. What he's doing is there's plenty of it. He's got a storage, a treasure chest of wisdom that he's just wanting you to find. But you've got to seek it. It gives to you. It's there. And if you get it, verse 8, it will guard the paths of the just. And it will watch over the way of his saints. It's going to protect you. And you'll enjoy it. It will be pleasant to your soul. Look down to verse 9. You'll understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. You'll understand all that is good, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. It's not going to be something like, oh man, I can't believe I got this. I got to know this. It's something that you want. It's something that you valued enough to put effort into it. And when you find it, you're like, yeah, I found it. I now know which way to go. That's what he's saying. It'll be pleasant to you. And it will protect your way. It'll keep you safe. It'll protect you, in verse 11, from the path that you're on. And it will deliver you, in verse 12, from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, from those who are twisting in their speech. They're deceptive in their speech. God's wisdom will help you discern that and understand that they are not speaking truth, but they're being deceptive. And isn't that what we saw in Colossians 2? Listen to Christ. Or verse 16, you'll be delivered from the forbidden woman, the strange woman, from the adulteress. And notice this, how she gets you? With her smooth words. You'll be able to cut to the chase. When somebody tells you something, you will know if it is truly God's way or not. And that will save you a lot of heartache. That will save you, as he will say later on, from being going down the path of death. That's reason enough to go after it. It's protection. So when you find it, what are you supposed to do with it, right? You find it, he would say later on in chapter 23, and again, a verse that you well know, but let's read it and let's see how this ties in to our wisdom and our understanding. Verse 23 of Proverbs 23. By truth, and do not sell it by wisdom, instruction, and understanding. You go out and you pay for it. You buy it. And it's so valuable to you that you don't sell it. We don't sell the heirlooms that our grandparents have passed down to us, do we? You can offer me all kinds of money for, in my case, my mother's china cabinet that she got from a relative. She's not selling that to anybody because she treasures that. The things that we treasure, we don't sell. We hold on to them. And we pay whatever is necessary to get it. So recently I was in Bed Bath & Beyond, right? And so I'm walking through and I'm looking for a clock because I wanted a clock. And I see this clock that is in a coffee mug. It's a coffee mug that's on the wall as a clock. I thought, man, that's pretty awesome. I want that. Well, they didn't have it in stock. So I thought, well, another Bed Bath & Beyond will have it. They didn't have it. I thought, well, I'll find it online. They no longer sell it online. And so I had resigned to the fact that I would never find that clock again. Well, a few weeks later, I was again in Bed Bath & Beyond. And I see it on the wall. And this time what I did is because it's not there in stock again. I actually found the attendant. I sought the attendant out. And I said, I want that coffee mug, cock. And he said, okay. Well, it's not down here. I know. That's why I sought you. So he goes over to his computer. He looks it up. Said, oh, I'll order that for you. Guess what he finds? It's not online either. But he says, but it's in stock at another store clear across the country. It's California. We'll ship it to your house. I said, yes. Guess what I'm not doing with that clock? I'm not selling it away because I wanted that thing and I thought I had lost it. But I found it. Buy it. I should have bought it the first time. It was what I wanted. But I didn't. I almost lost it. And there comes a point in time, as we would see in Proverbs chapter 1, where you will miss out on your opportunity to get your wisdom. Wisdom's been crying out in the street and she's been saying, turn from your ways and it will be too late. Calamity will come and you'll call out, wisdom says, but I won't answer. Buy it. And don't give it away. And Proverbs 9 would tell us, you rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. And you give him instruction, he will be wiser still. You never get enough wisdom. You can always add more and more and more. Because the wise man understands he doesn't know everything. The wise man will now recognize what is actually valuable. And when he sees it, he gobbles it up. He takes it because he recognizes its value. Just like the archaeologist, when they see what is valuable, to me or to you, it might just be a piece of clay. But to them, they understand this is one of three in all the world. They don't let that go. Do I see God's wisdom in that way? So I sought it. I found it. Now what do? I share it. I now have it. James says, any among you want to show that he's wise? Let him by his good conduct. You need to share your wisdom. You need to show that. And why do it? Because of joy. You've been looking for treasure. Imagine you're actually on a treasure hunt. Or like me with that crazy clock. I found that thing and I think I texted somebody while I was on the wall. I found the clock. Because I was excited about that. And don't we see that in Luke 15 with our man who had lost his sheep? He's got 99 of them that were safe, but one had gone away. And he goes out into the country to find that thing. And when he finds it, what's he do? He calls them all together to rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost. I now know what to do. And the same thing with the lady with the coin. She got 10 coins, she lost one. You might say, that's not much. Well, if you only got 10 coins, losing one's a lot. And she found it, she swept the house, she was looking for it, and she found it. And she told all her friends, rejoice with me. I found that coin that was lost. If I find a real treasure, you're going to know about it. So this is what happens sometimes. Somebody will be doing some Bible study, right? And they'll come across something they've never seen. Maybe it's downstairs in our men's class or our ladies' class or something. And they've studied that passage a lot. But they come across something and maybe somebody says something that makes them see the passage just a little different. Cool. And so you go and you tell your friend about it because you know that they would appreciate that as well because they're a student of that. And the point is, it's not only for me. I need to know God's way, but so does everyone else. The wisdom is not just for me. And so I think we see this in Matthew chapter 13. I want you to see this parable. It's not a parable that we talk about often. But I think that's exactly what we see in Matthew 13, is people who understand what God wants them to do. Jesus just told a number of parables. And he asked the disciples in verse 51, have you understood all these things? Do you get them? And they said, yeah. And he said to them, here's the parable. Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house, who brings out his treasure, what is old and what is new. A scribe is one who was in the law, writing the law, wasn't he? He would be in there all the time. And there would be some things that he would have known from old that he would have read through and be like, wow. And then he would read something and he would write something and it would be new and he would say, wow. And what he would do is he would come out and he would tell the people what was wow. And it might be something old, it might be something new. And that's what Christians are supposed to do. You find something cool, you tell somebody about it. I don't care if it's old, I don't care if it's new. You bring it out because you treasure it. It's valuable to you. And you know it's worth their while. So as the proverb says, iron sharpens iron. The wise man makes others wiser. You run with wise, you become wise. You run with fools, you become fools, the proverbs tell us. The person who wants that, he goes after it and he finds it. And when he finds it, he does everything in his power to get it. And when he gets it, he doesn't let it go. He gets more and more. And he doesn't hoard his treasure for himself. He shares it with other people. And God is saying, you can find my wisdom. I want to give it to you. Do you want it bad enough to work for it? And that's the challenge. It's great. It's powerful. But do I want it bad enough? Nothing can compare to the profit that she will bring. This evening has not been about becoming a Christian. But maybe you know what you need to do to become a Christian. You're ready to do that. Or maybe this evening, you need the prayers of the congregation here. We'd ask that you come now as we stand and as we sing.